June the 19th. This session is called Experiencing, and the word experiencing is a neologism I invented to try and specify the particular approach taken in this method. One of the reasons for neologism is because there is such widespread use of the very general, all-embracing term meditation without discrimination of different approaches to what I remember children years ago at Sherwin used to call sitting down work. They used to be highly amused that their parents and so on would claim to be working and they were sat very comfortably. They couldn't see anything being done at all. Well, this is a very, very profound joke. The people have a sort of idea about meditation and some sense of going inward, but usually it's conducted in a way which is like following a dream, in that the dominant method is to go along with or flow with a visualization which has usually a lot of emotional content to it. But in this approach we have two different or distinct elements. One is that, and this stems very much from Gurdjieff's influence and innovations, one is to pay a lot of attention and make a certain amount of effort to be in the body. And for most people, this is a surprise because, as I mentioned just now, the meditation practice, usually to be found, not always, it tends to have people floating out of their bodies. Now, one of the points of being, quote, in the body or in contact with the body is that this is a reality test. And it was one of the key practices and pragmatic elements of the Gurdjieff method to have the body as a touchstone for reality, because the outlook in it was that by and large, we people, and this is, we need to accept this, but this is the picture, we people are not have not even for most of the day achieved the state of being in the physical world, but are in a sub-physical world, which he called a dream world. So the attainment of a physical state was taken as an achievement. Secondly, the two points, that each person doing one of these processes or exercises has to be very active. That it is not a surrender, it's not a going along with, there has to be some measure of taking initiative and guiding the process for oneself and seeing for oneself. Again, this is part of the tradition, which is not, can't be made a rule, but it is simply part of the ethos that everybody should verify what is going on for themselves, and so be capable of inner critical appraisal, having even something of a scientific attitude to what's going on. Do not take anything on trust, but discover what is there really for you and in what way it is there for you. Unless you find it out for yourself, you don't understand and it doesn't really benefit you. So the person in quotes leading or guiding or the group is more like the modern idea of a facilitator, simply to remind people of certain forms. And of course, temperamentally, the person guiding may speak a lot or a little, and it depends upon the familiarity of the group with the process, how much needs to be said. I'd say one or two more things before we start. It's necessary to, one of the reasons I'm giving all this explanation beforehand is that it's always emphasized that people who do this kind of thing, it's just this kind of thing, not other sorts of things, do actually think about the process, reason with themselves about it, find out about it as much as they can, and do more than just experience it. Bring all they can to bear on why, what, and how. And secondly, the kinds of things done, they were first, for the most part, stimulated or initiated by Gurdjieff, but then developed by others, such as my own instructor, Mr. Bennett. And I see no reason why this process shouldn't go on, the process of inquiry and recreation and renewal, simplification and expansion. So there isn't any one set way of doing these things. And this has a profound reason, namely that there is essentially always something creative in anything that's real. So forgive me for that lot of explanation, and there's one small final perhaps addition I must indulge in, which is to, if there is a way of doing this, which perhaps we won't do much of during this week, in which all the members of the group can participate in the realm of language, because the language used in this is highly significant. Language itself is very, very significant, even in respect to what are taken to be inward or ineffable attributes of our experiencing. So the whole experiencing process does involve being able to articulate for oneself what is unfolding. And if you imagine that there is some initiation, something unfolds, and you articulate what is unfolding, and by this very act, it changes the process and takes it further. And this start, articulation, and deepening is the backbone of the method. Language is not neutral, nor does it have to be inept, nor does it have to be fixed. So our first thing I generally do is become aware of this room. The room with its solidity, its walls, its ceiling, its floor, and its furniture. And by the way, it's entirely up to you whether you do this with your eyes open or closed. Sometimes it's very useful to do it with the eyes open, because again, this protects against dreaming. And for some people, the difference between eyes open and closed has quite an important influence on the alpha rhythms of the brain, which again influence one's state. You recognize the furniture, tables, chairs, lamps. It's important to get the sense that these are physical objects. So whatever your state of mind, of preoccupation, distraction, or whatever, memory, you come back to physical objects. And include now in the physical objects the other bodies in the room. In particular, the chair you are sat upon and your own body. And treat this body as also a physical thing. If you can, be dominantly aware of its skeletal bone structure and mass. Once you have established this sense, then afterwards it's like being able to just touch it very briefly and it will be restored for you. You don't have to keep on dwelling on it. Now next I want you to select some mood or feeling, you know, like humor, sadness, hope. It doesn't really matter whether, in ordinary terms, this is positive or negative. Just in general, the recommendation is to make it more positive than negative. Then what you do is dwell on this particular mood or state, say, smiling. Smiling is good because it has a physical component and it's easier to start up in oneself. So here you are. You have a word designating a kind of mood, and you evoke this in yourself. The reason for doing this is to have a place in another kind of world, the physical world. The feeling world, let's call it. Whatever mood you choose is a link to being present in this other kind of presence. Not the physical, but another quality of experience. just notice where the that quality is located or centered. Indeed, it has a location in you. Now, thirdly, take a concept such as truth, completeness, or wholeness, something representing for you totality. And this is now an idea. An idea to do with wholeness, completeness, fulfillment, truth. It can feel like very, very abstract, elusive, just verbal concepts, but can also, if you find the right one for yourself, make a contact with a third quality of experience. You may find it's important to observe that you switch to this new quality of experience, then it has an effect back onto your physical state. So this is the first cycle, let's call it. That's the physical world, the world of mood, affect, and the world of conception. Remember, I use deliberately that word conception, because it is connected intrinsically, deeply, with conceiving or initiation. When you open this door, it's like summoning an inner power. Now, in the second cycle, back to the sense of the body, and but now have awareness. Your clothes, the contact between your clothes and your skin. Yeah. You have your face and your hands exposed, then experience the air upon that part of the skin. You catch the sound of the machinery which has just started, as well as for you, that of my own voice. beware of that sound is also, in a sense, impinging on your skin, your boundary. It becomes like a sensitive membrane. Which you are enclosed. Here's a suggestion. You bring your attention to what dwells within the skin. Be aware of this matter of life, its living substance. Again, to find what is effective, efficient rather, for you yourself, for me, I take an idea such as the following to help me, namely, that in space and time, within my body, is different from how it is outside. Space and time within the living is not the same as space and time non-living. There is an indwelling presence. Also physical. And just a comment here that I must have come up with a statement, an idea. It serves to make change, a connection, a contact, or to evoke something. There is always an unfolding detail. And I ask you to catch and notice and go along with what unfolds for you as the primary thing, and trying to understand what I say is very much a secondary thing. This is for you. But in the indwelling, you have a concept such as transform space and time, or you may simply sense the blood coursing through your veins and arteries. or you may, as we use in Holy Language, say, feel the air on your face. It's a complex. Find a way that makes it deeper. You may find that once something has appeared to you, become manifest, then if you dwell on it, you go on dwelling on it in the same way, it becomes duller to you. Part of this, when you always have to move on, it's strange, you move on, but you remain still. Now the next part. Breath. I'm aware of the exchange between inside and outside through air. There's air within, and there is air without. And there can be a wide variation in approach due to yogic way of attending to the air entering a nostril, or you may simply picture the two realms within and without and the flow between them. But one important addition has to be made. That is, by attending to the exchange, the content of this exchange deepens, transforms. You have to find it out for yourself. You may find this is happening to a certain degree with myself at this time, that it is as if the breathing comes to a stop. Or some other result. Have no fear. Just allow it to unfold as it will. There is an art here of the attention, not getting distracted, but also not getting fixed. Distraction disperses, fixity dulls. From moment to moment, there can be renewal. First we had something like blood, and we had something like air. We go to a third part. I pause, because this third part is something like thought, it is something like consciousness. It is something like seeing. So one way I'm going to try this morning is to treat my awareness as a substance. And also, similarly to the previous, seeking to realize something like its ebb and flow, its dissolution and reconstitution, its entering and leaving, the ambience of my presence. In other words, and this may be tricky, not to consider this awareness to be me, or to be set, resting in me, but to be moving. Now, if you find this inconceivable or difficult, then you, what you have to do is to find another approach which is of significance for you. A strange metaphor, an image just came to me, which is years ago, medicine. Russian doctors were involved in a certain therapy which involved taking the blood from people, circulating it through a filter and replacing it. Like, imagine, and here is a picture, imagine the awareness going into a deeper awareness and coming back refreshed. Again, you may find that nothing whatsoever appears to happen. You have a choice. Sometimes you can keep with it, which is not like beating your head against a brick wall, but carrying forward the intent. And to see how this intent becomes more like, but depending on your temperament, and of course you have to select the right descriptive words here, more like a prayer or an invocation, as much as a determination and a perseverance. It's where active and passive become perhaps indistinguishable. And if you say to yourself, well, how can I, with my thought or attention or whatever, start playing around with the very constitution of my awareness? I say, why not? Play is ubiquitous. The Leela, God plays. Play is the most profound. Why not play with awareness? You may catch a glimpse that you don't need awareness. Sorry to talk so much this morning, but it's to introduce you to this approach. If you get a distracting thought, don't treat it perhaps as a distraction, but as an invention, as an innovative thought. And you always make it real. Whatever comes to you, make it real. Your distraction could be turned into creation. An image comes, and you put it to work. A memory and its significance aids in what you have to do now. This is the very profound outer technique, sometimes called Tibetan technique, of use everything and don't fight yourself. If you want to relax into a sort of dream, that's fine, just because sometimes you get the connection, you can fall asleep, daydream, think about problems, and you still have that connection. So just a few minutes now, and think back on the process and find your own guiding or explanatory metaphor for this. Make an exploration, and the path you take is made by the act of exploration itself. As I speak to you, it is unfolding for me, obviously the long-established patterns and frameworks, but these are not all binding. And reflect, no matter what state you are in now, whether it feels to you good or exciting or not, because states come and go. It's good just at the end to reflect inwardly on what it is in you which is not dependent on state. The word used in Sufism is hawa, or state. Use a different word for what's enduring in you, makam, station. Is it like one's position in reality? Going back out to your physical body, sat on your chair, it is very important in the branch of the purposes that you come back as far as possible to exactly the same point you began. Make this closure. If you like, you are, because remembering how it began, or you may think it is actually restoring that physical body as a thing sat on the chair in the room with the other bodies, the table, the chairs, the walls, the ceiling, the floor. Become aware of the light coming into the room. And you can use such whatever devices work sometimes useful depending on what you actually need. You look at your own hand and you say, well, this is my hand in this world. Sometimes you can get into a stage where you're not quite sure what world you are in. Very good.